I spoke just for a minute last night and told y'all that were here that I was in the hospital a month ago with just some crazy intestinal problems. You know, when your guts aren't right, you ain't right either. Amen. And I was laying there in the bed, and they were trying to figure out what was going on with me, and let me out on Tuesday. By Thursday night, I was back in the hospital. Same problem again. And, you know, when you've been set free from something and that bondage comes back upon you, you feel, of all people, most miserable and just left alone and barren. And a lady in our church, Ferrick's grandmother, called me and she said, "Brother Mike." I said, "What is a Mama T?" She said, "Brother Mike, I know you ain't laying up in that bed worrying about everything you can't take care of anyway." I said, "I'm not." She said, "I know you ain't laying up there in Father God." And she went to prayer right there. "Father God, I bind the devil that would come and put burden on Brother Mac in his time of need. In that hospital bed, Lord God, cause rest to come." And I thought, "Sister Mary, you ain't been in a hospital recently. You do not go to the hospital to rest every hour on the hour. Get up and go to the bathroom. What if I could?" Next thing you know, they're sticking needles all in. I come home, I look like I'd been in a war. Not battle, but a war. I bruised all up and down both arms. You don't go to the hospital to rest. She said, "You're going to lay up in there and you're going to rest. Don't worry about Sunday. I got it." Now, that might not mean anything to you, but if you were the worship pastor of your church and you were laying in a hospital and you knew that the prognosis is you wouldn't be released until Sunday afternoon, wouldn't you be a little bit worried about who was going to take care of business for you? I was laying up there wondering, "God, I asked her to cover last week because I was in the hospital. I don't want her to have to cover this week. I don't want to have to call Matthew." Because Matthew's more than capable. He does more than just sing baritone. He plays guitar and mandolin, and he'll get in on some of that tomorrow, and we're going to have us a good time. I don't want to call Matthew. I don't want to call Sister Mary. Sister Mary plays the piano and leads worship. God, I want to be out of here. And all I could hear is, "I know you ain't sitting up in that hospital bed worrying about what you going to do." And God said, "Michael, I'm going to cause something to happen to you that's never happened before." And I said, "What is that, Lord?" And he said, "Rest." You know that stupid IV quit working Friday night? And they took it off of me. So I still had the needle in my hand, but I wasn't hooked to a machine that was beeping every 8 hours. "Ap, ap, ap, I want more. Ap, 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 I want more. Ap, ap, ap." Friends, that's annoying. Amen. You reach over and you start pushing buttons because you're so just... Well, I did. It said pause and I pushed pause. 2 minutes later, I want more. I'm pushing the nurse's call light and buttons on the machine and trying to get that thing to shut up. My mom's an RN. She didn't teach me better. I'm sorry. What are you talking about? Sitting up in there worried. And you know, Saturday morning, Friday night, they came in, they said, "How's your back?" And because with all of that was going on, it was sore, and I said, "It hurts." And they gave me a little shot of some drugs. And I'm not saying that you should take drugs, but if you need them, that's what they're there for. They gave me a little shot in my IV, and that pain went away, and the next thing I know, I was just gone. I was sawing logs so hard. When that nurse came in, she's turned around and left. She came in at 4 a.m. because the shift had changed at 11 o'clock. And she didn't want to wake me. And the shift was getting ready to change again soon. And she needed to get some blood work. She said, "You were sleeping so good there was no reason I had to wake you. And God said, I'm going to cause you to rest. And I woke up Saturday morning with this phrase in my mind, a more excellent sacrifice. And I knew exactly the scripture reference. A more excellent sacrifice. Brother Larry, I got to thinking about that. A more excellent sacrifice. That means both sacrifices are accepted, but one's a little better. More excellent. Wow, that changes things. Friends, it's not a question of whether or not sacrifice is yet required. It is. Not a blood, that price has been paid. Your redemption is settled. It's taken care of. And your salvation is sure if you're walking with the Lord. But if you're walking with the Lord, you can't walk with Him without sacrifice. Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't do them. And the things that I wouldn't do, I do for the cause of Christ. What would cause a short red-headed man to load up everything he owns in the world and grab his family and drive 200 miles to preach the gospel, save for the cause of Christ? Have we ever discussed money? And we're never going to. And I'm not going to preach about money tonight. Because your sacrifice has little to nothing to do with your money. It has everything to do with your time, with your talent, and with your prayer. Say it with me. Time, talent, and prayer. Watch this. This gets really amazing really quick. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we're going to read the whole chapter and the rest of the book. I'm just teasing. If you got it, say amen. Amen. If you don't got it, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got it? How many we got in here that are dating age? Just Varick, I think. Donald, you're not married. Ben, Abby, Madison, brother, you married. You better quit dating, unless it's her. All right. If you're single and you're dating, listen to me carefully. Carry your Bible. Not on your phone. Poor Abby's like, oh man. You can, if that's your Bible you're using, use your Bible. Have you got it on your phone? Use it on your phone. That's fine. I'm just giving you a hard time. Carry your Bible. Why? Because when that sweet thing sitting next to you hasn't got a Bible to read. Do you see the Word of God over here? Here, I'll put my finger at the place where Brother Mike's at, and I'll help you follow. Be sly, man. Be sly. That's how I got my wife. I'm just teasing. God's how I got my wife. If you go and go fishing, you better pray first. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's stop for a minute. Why in the world is now there? That makes no sense. Now faith is the substance. I've heard people preach it all my life. Now faith is the substance of things. This might just be a different level we're going to be talking about tonight. This isn't just faith in general. By the way, there's faith and then there's a gift called faith. Amen. That's interesting. I'm not going to preach about that tonight, but it's interesting. Just a tidbit for you to chew on. But if we take this word now and then we take the word faith and we take a look at them together, because in my Bible, those are the first two words of the verse. And we understand that now faith, maybe that's a name of a type of faith. It's not faith that God can. It's faith that now God will. I don't need it tomorrow when I'm laying in the hospital bed. I need it now. I don't need finances in 10 months when the bill is expired and I'm in collections. I need finances now. The Bible says that God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. Somebody say, amen.
Amen.
I don't need my healing in 4 years. I need it now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I spoke for 5 seconds last night about one word. From God is all it takes. One word created the world and everything in it. One word created man. All you need from God, family, tonight is one word. For through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Somebody say amen. That's good stuff. So that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Watch this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. I'm going to say it one more time. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. God said David was a man after his own heart. It's interesting to me that we're willing to give God all of our second-hand hand-me-downs. But we ain't going to give him the best. I get kind of tired of throwing out appliances. Someone thinks because we're a church with a dumpster, they can throw their appliances out behind the church and we'll just pay to have them hauled off. Folks want to bless the church with couches, and gently used would be quite a nice term. I mean, those couches look like they've been ridden all the way to China and back. Hard. In rainstorm. And we got to get rid of them. Why? They're not worth anything to us. You're just giving God your junk. God don't want your junk. He wants the best. When I was raised, I was taught, Brother Mike, when you go to church, you put on your best for the Lord. Doesn't matter if your best is a pair of blue jeans and tennis shoes. You get through the pile of blue jeans you got, grab those ones in the back that are almost new, you wear those to the house of God. Why? Because it's putting my best forward for the Lord. Well, Brother Mike, I didn't do that tonight. That's fine. Do it tomorrow. Why? Because now that you know about there is a standard of living, you're accountable for it. Well, Brother Mike, my clothes don't matter with my relationship to the Lord. Didn't say they did. Your clothes are an attitude that'll hinder your worship. When you give God your best, you're more able to receive. My mindset, watch it. Let me prove it to you for just a second. When you love something, you will go out of your way to invest in it. Man, how many of y'all have a car that you think the world of? Some of us have even classic cars that we think the world of. And we'll go out of our way to make sure it isn't getting a dent. It isn't getting scratched up. Why? Because we love that stupid materialistic vehicle. Matthew's got, what year is that old Ford truck you got? He's got a 52 Ford truck he's restored. It was his grandfather's, it was his father's, now it's his. It means something to him because there's been an investment for 3 generations in this vehicle. if I love my wife, I'm going to invest in her. She went out today to Family Discount down there in Keokuk, and she came back, and I said, did you get me two new shoes? And she goes, no, but I did get me two new dresses. I said, well, hooray, baby, whoop them out here. Oh, that's so pretty. One looks like a tuxedo. It's a dress, and it's got tails, friends. It's a claw hammer tail coat. And oh, and the other one's black and red, and she looks so fine in them. We went to Detroit last weekend, 2 weekends ago. It's been a blur. Went to Detroit 2 weekends ago, and I bought me a new suit I'm going to be wearing tomorrow. She couldn't find a thing in all of Detroit, and man, friends, we was shopping. It's hard to wear a Michael out from shopping, but she did it. We was shopping. Weren't we, Mom? And she found two right here in Keokuk that are better than anything she saw in Detroit. Why? God wanted to bless her. The more we invest in the Lord, the more He invests in us. Amen. Have I preached about money yet? Okay. The more we invest in each other, the more the person you're investing in invests in you. 12, 13, 14, how many years has it been? 16 years ago, I met Brother Steve, and he invited me to his house. Was it a revival or something like that? I was doing a service for somebody somewhere. I remember there was one weekend, friends, I invaded your house with 16 kids. Boy, that's love. That's real love right there. Invaded all of his privacy, all of his family's privacy with 16 young'uns. Whoo! Sister Linda cooked up a storm. Brother Mike and Sister Vicky cooked up a storm. Why? We were taking care of everybody. What are you talking about? In all of that time, I was investing time in him. One of the worst times he ever had in his life, he had with me. I was driving. My old 98 Regency. Hoo-wee. Thing that'd float right down the road. What was that street we were on over there? We were on Meet Jesus Road over there in Illinois. River Road, in between Navajo and Hamilton. And friends, if you take your eyes off that booger for a minute. Well, I did. I did. And when I looked up, we were head on with a semi. He was like, I'd still see the look on his face today. He prayed through right there. Amen. And you'll never forget it, will you? No. Neither will I. First time I met Brother Shannon, we went out back and he was showing me his prized dogs. And you know, those dogs are beautiful. And I believe it was Zeus was his name. He was so happy to see you. He was jumping with all 4 feet straight off the ground that high, and it was slightly muddy, friends. Y'all remember I come to church with brown polka dots all up and down my blue sharkskin suit. Poor Brother Shannon was so embarrassed. I'll play for the dry cleaning. There's no need. I still got 2 spots on that suit, and every time I see him, I pray for you. Because you need all the prayer you can get. And those mud spots are an investment. Sounds stupid, don't it? Means something to me. It means nothing to you. It's my investment. Friends, it's not a matter of whether or not you're willing to sacrifice for the things you love. It's a matter of whether or not you realize what you're doing. Watch this. Abel goes out to the flock and he picks the firstborn and the fattest of the firstborn that he could find. This is not some idle specimen. We're talking about the best of the best. And he brings it and he offers it to God. The word of God says that Cain went out and he picked fruit. And he just brought his fruit and threw it before the Lord. And the Bible says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. What happens when our brothers or sisters start offering a sacrifice that's excellent and accepted before the Lord? Both sacrifices are accepted, but one God will favor. When it's from everything you have, God will always favor that offering. Watch this. It caused Cain to become so jealous because of the favor of God on Abel's life. When you're blessed by God, be careful. Someone's going to start wagging that old tongue. Never fails. Why? Oh, look at them. They up in there playing. We've been setting up in that Hampton Inn playing millionaire. Just all spread out in the cool. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we ain't been this cool for a while. How many of y'all know what I'm saying? You get in that nice hotel room and you just, whoo, yeah. Last night I had the air conditioner adjusted so it'd blow up this pant leg and down that one. It was wonderful, friends. I was enjoying myself. Why? Because someone cared enough about us to make sure we were taken care of. I'm not asking to ever be put up there again. I'm just saying it is nice and we appreciate it. We do. Sacrifice was made so that the people of God could be taken care of. What have you done for God lately? This is what really got to me. My wife and I, 3 years ago for our anniversary, went to Wisconsin to see some friends that I hadn't seen in 20 years. I was 36, so it was 2 years ago. And she brought out this old watch that I gave her, and I had forgotten all about it. She never forgot about it because it drove her crazy, and then I gave it to her. It made noise when you pushed the button. I said, look at my watch, and I pushed that button and shoot out. Pew! She kept that stupid plastic airplane watch for 20 years. When we went back, she gave it back to me. She said, in 20 years, it's your responsibility to bring this back to me. It meant something to her. I had invested in her. While we were up there, Vic and I, one of the things we do, since we're blessed with such fine equipment, is we're able to look at a church's need, see what they have need of, and if we can, we supply it. Why? We're blessed, and we want to be a blessing. Amen. We saw that this church had need, and I had talked to the pastor about a different microphone and a specific microphone. And friends, that mic wasn't cheap. His daughter played keyboard, and she had a speaker as big as this under her keyboard pointed up at her. And I thought, how many of y'all remember I used to have that little hotspot off to the side? And we used it, and it worked so well. Well, what I ended up getting her is one of those cubes. Just tiny, and she could adjust it however she wanted it. And you know what? They're using that equipment. But I was sitting at home the next Sunday getting ready for church, and Mike Murdoch, God bless him, came on the television. You need to give an $1,000 offering. You need to do it now because God's going to bless you. You need to give that offering to me because I don't have enough money. I thought, what an idiot. But I was sitting there, and as I began to hear him, our heart is to give. As I begin to hear him talk about giving an offering of $1,000, I thought, I kind of want to do that. And as quick as that thought crossed my mind, God said, how much money did you just give to that little church in Wisconsin? It's amazing how that we get to feeling sorry within ourselves because we see others blessed and we want to be part of that. And we are part of that sometimes, and we don't even realize how much of a part we are. I don't have money to give you tonight, church. I don't. I wish I did. I know several teams that have gone through Missouri, in fact, Sister Kathy's church, and they needed a new roof, and that team was there to do a revival just like we are, and they just turned around and handed them the offering plus that much more. Amen. Amen. We did the same thing in 2008. 2007. Listen, there are a lot of different types of Christians in the world today. There are 10% Christians. These people are pretty well Christians in name only. They witness, but they only live a Christian life when it's convenient. That'd be on Sunday morning. These 10 percenters, they only have 10% of their life invested, so they really get very few answers and don't know quite yet how to trust God. Why? To whom much is given, much is required. To whom little is given, little is required. When I give God little, it really shows how much I trust Him. Let me repeat that, because that's pretty good advice, if I do say so myself. When I give God little, it really shows how much I trust Him. So if I'm giving God my 10%, I think I'm okay. You know what? Not really okay, but it'll get you by for a little while. You got those 25% Christians. They believe, but they still need right now answers to affirm their faith. If I don't see God move tomorrow, why, I'm not going to be a Christian on Wednesday. Sounds ridiculous, but man, they're all over. This town is filled with them. Well, I'll give God 25%. I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And some big mountain comes. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? You know, the problem isn't the mountain. The problem is God is giving you an opportunity to build your faith.
Amen.
Faith is like muscles. It's got to be worked out. Yep. When I was 21, I could bench 200 pounds. Now I could probably bench two. Well, I haven't worked on my physical body in quite a while, and it's starting to show. What are you talking about? I've invested more in ministry than I have in my own health. Is that a problem? God expects this temple to be taken care of as that temple. It's hard preaching. I don't want to go on down that road. I might get conviction. We got 50% Christians. They believe, but they still need right now results to affirm faith. They praise Him in the morning, but the evening's mine. And in the morning, you repent and start the whole process all over again. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him Sunday morning. Live like the devil in the noontime. Praise Him. And the church is full of these people. Why? We just don't know how to teach them how to be 75 percenters. 75 percenters believe God all the way, but still aren't 100% committed. What are you talking about? God, I'll trust you with my faith. I believe in you, but I can't trust you quite yet with my family. Whew. Ooh, that's hard, isn't it? I said, God, I believe you with my faith, but I can't quite trust you yet with my family. God, I believe you with my faith and my family, but I can't quite trust you yet with my healing. Listen to me carefully. There is no equation anywhere in the Word of God, I've scoured it thoroughly, that says this amount of faith equals that amount of healing. It is on God's time, and all it takes is one word.
Amen.
I prayed for Grandma back here tonight, that God would touch her body, because she said old Uncle Arthur had come and started settling in her joints. It's getting ready to rain, folks. I know that. I know that elders have a hard time in the rain because those joints begin to get tender. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? If you're young, thank God for your youth, because one day you won't be. 100 percenters, I want to speak about these folks for just a minute. And I pray to God that one day I can make it to be one of these. I call an 100 percenter a person that understands how to give God everything and sacrifice all. Everything I've got is the Lord's. He gave it to me, and He can have it anytime He wants it. And Vicki and I really do live a lot like that. But these 100 percenters, I call them God's reserve saints. These are the prayer warriors of the church that knows how to get you through. Thank God for the 100 percenters. Thank God for the grandmas that can pray for the grandchildren, the children, the great-grandchildren, and the great-great-grandchildren. What a testimony. What a testimony. And those of us that are younger than 40 have a real hard time trusting God just to get us down the road a little further. No lie, friends. I was driving from Rochester, from Minneapolis, Minnesota, to tell my girlfriend, who was going to be my wife. We knew we were going to be married. I was driving to tell her that that was it. I was done. There was no more ministry in me. It was over. And the Lord touched my gas tank. I'm quitting on God. My gas needle went from half clear down into the orange. I'm quitting on God. Listen to me carefully. It's it. I'm done. The very next thing I do is say, God, if you'll only give me just enough gas to make it to the gas station, I'll thank you for it. But I'm done in ministry. And God spoke to me these words. He said, son, are you willing to go all the way on faith? And I said, don't you mean in faith? Isn't it funny how, Brother Larry, we think we have the right sometimes to correct the Lord? Brother Burrell, I know there's been times in your life you've thought you've had the right to tell God how he should think about the situations in your life. You know, God said, I didn't make a mistake. You can go a long way in faith and never use it. When you go on faith, it's all you got. Friends, I made it to turn the corner into that gas station in my car and went, mind you, I had a check in my pocket for $400. And all I had to make it was down the road 10 more miles to cash that check. And my car went, and I thought, oh, Jesus. Jesus, just be with this car and get it to the pump. You know that stupid thing. God bless the Lord. That's an interesting thing. Someone sneezes in heaven, especially the Lord, what are you going to say? But we make it all the way to the pump, and the thing just, it's out. I said, well, that's nice, Lord. They're not going to take a check in here. He said, look under your back seat. Not in it, under it. Here I am. Every stitch of clothes I own is on in the back seat. I'm pulling them out. And I finally get to where I can pop the back seat out and slide it up. And I look, and you know I found $5 in quarters. Under my back seat. And I'm quitting ministry. In that parking lot, I got on my knees and I said, God, I am so sorry. I will never again doubt the call you've placed on my life. Listen to me carefully. It is so easy to forget what God has done to us, for us, through us, and by us. And it is awful easy to give up, forget, and just say we're through. But he's not done with me, and he's not done with you.